السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه والتابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وبعد. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his entire household and all his companions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless them and to bless every single one of us and to grant us goodness. Beloved brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made what is the truth very clear. And He has explained falsehood as well. And He has kept for us the choice in the middle. Sorry brothers, I think the sound needs to drop slightly, very, very slightly, not too much inshallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us in so many ways. He has given us a choice, and we are responsible for the choices we make. And so, it's a little bit too low, my brother. I was expecting that, subhanAllah. We have a choice, indeed. We are responsible for the choice we make. The paths are in front of us. There is the straight path, and there are different paths of the devil. What we choose to walk on, subhanAllah, will definitely be, or will definitely have an impact on ourselves. It will definitely result in us either achieving something good or something bad. And this is why, even on a religious level, to choose your religion or to choose your path within the religion, because we can be Muslim and we can still be doing so many wrong things. And people can choose not to believe in God at all. May Allah protect us. People can choose any path, but Allah says, although we have given you the choice, remember, whatever you do, ultimately you are the one responsible. So this is why they say, you might be free to make your choice, but you will be enslaved by the consequences of that choice of yours. Allah says in verse number 29 of Surah Al-Kahf, وَقُلِ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. Allah says, and say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell them that the truth is from your Lord. It has been sent to you. Now whoever wants, they may believe. And whoever wants, they may disbelieve. But whatever you do, listen to what Allah says. إِنَّا أَعْتَدْنَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ نَارًا. Indeed, we have prepared the fire for the oppressors. Which means, those who make the wrong decisions, they need to face the consequences of that decision. You know, when a person steals, and then he comes and says, why are you penalizing me? It was my freedom of choice. That's not freedom of choice. In Islam, freedom of choice is governed by whether or not you are trampling on the feet of others. And this is something extremely important we need to know. People cannot say, I'm free to say what I want. When you are swearing people, I'm free to mock. You're not free to mock at anyone and everyone. You are responsible for your actions. So why don't people murder and then say we were free to do that? Because you're not free to usurp the rights of others. This is why Allah says, when you do something, make sure you understand that freedom is such that you are totally responsible for the action that you have chosen through the freedom that we have bestowed upon you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us. So if we want goodness, we have choices. Let's make the correct choices in life. Especially when it comes to following the path. Follow the correct path. Search, look. Make sure that you fight your own desires and lusts. And you please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if you have struggled to control your own self, when it comes to staying away from prohibitions, definitely you will have a great reward. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us. And this is why in Surah Al-Kahf, verse number 49, Allah makes mention of how every action of a human being shall be brought to the book. It shall be shown. It is recorded. Nothing shall be missed. وَوُضِعَ الْكِتَابِ. On that day, the books shall be laid bare. They will be placed.
فَتَرَى الْمُجْرِمِينَ مُشْفِقِينَ مِمَّا فِيهِ.
So when the books have been placed, you will find the criminals very fearful of what is inside those books of theirs. Their own books. But they are worried. What's in this book?
ويقولون يا ويلتنا ما لهذا الكتاب لا يغادر صغيرة ولا كبيرة إلا أحصاها ووجدوا ما عملوا حاضرا ولا يظلم ربك أحدا.
They will say, woe unto us! What is it? This book does not leave neither the smallest item nor the biggest item except that it is recorded. Every single thing is recorded in the book. The small items and the big items. Everything we do recorded. Our statements, everything recorded. The actions, even the smallest of actions, recorded. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us and grant us goodness. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they will find their deeds in front of them present. And Allah says, your Rabb will never oppress anyone. May Allah make it easy for us on that day. Brothers and sisters, for us to achieve eternal peace, we need to become conscious of the fact that everything we are doing or saying is written down. But I have good news for you. What is the good news? When we engage in repentance, then whatever was written in that book negatively is totally deleted, forgotten, and at times swapped into something good. That is the mercy of Allah. So one might ask, when is it swapped to something good? We can tell you that inshallah. When a person has engaged in repentance, it is deleted. When they only do good deeds after that repentance, then those bad deeds have now been swapped to good deeds. So that's the difference. If you repent alone and sometimes you might not have rectified everything thereafter, then perhaps you will be forgiven for what you've done. But because there are so many other things that you have not yet rectified, it is only forgiveness you've achieved for that particular item you sought forgiveness from. But if you have sought forgiveness and you have not gone back to any bad ways and habits intentionally, and you have changed your entire life, Allah says, we take all the bad you did in the past and we swap it into good deeds because of your change. The effort that is required to put aside a bad deed is worth achieving a good deed in its place. It is a big effort. It is not something simple. When sin is readily available, or should I say, when it is done so easily and the person abstains from it, they deserve inner and outer peace in the dunya as well as in the akhirah. This is why if you are in a country where sin is very, very easy to commit and still you abstain, you are far more noble or far more higher in spirituality than a person who lives in a country where it is not easy to commit sin. Logic. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains how man is such that no matter how many examples Allah gives him, he still has this notion or this habit of arguing. He becomes argumentative. He argues regarding what Allah has said as well. So Allah says, verse number 54 of Surah Al-Kahf,
وَلَقَدْ صَرَّفْنَا فِي هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ لِلنَّاسِ مِنْ كُلِّ مَثَلٍ وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ أَكْثَرَ شَيْءٍ جَدَلًا.
And indeed in this Quran, we have expounded every type of example for man. We have given so many details, so many examples for man. But man was always ever so argumentative. And he loved to argue. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us not from amongst those whom when Allah declares something, we start arguing. Rather, may He make us from those whom when Allah declares something and we know its source and we realize it comes from our Maker or the Messenger who was sent by that Maker, we surrender immediately. Ameen. My brothers and sisters, this is why Allah says, who can be more oppressive than the one who is reminded of Allah? He is reminded of what is right. He understands it. He knows it. And then he turns away. And he chooses some other path. Allah says, that is the most oppressive. There is no one more oppressive than that. Listen to what Allah says, verse number 57 of the same surah, Surah Al-Kahf.
وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ ذُكِّرَ بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِ فَأَعْرَضَ عَنْهَا وَنَسِيَ مَا قَدَّمَتْ يَدَاهُ.
Who is there more oppressive than the one who is reminded of his Rabb? He is reminded of his duty unto his Rabb. And then he turns away. And he forgets
what his hands have earned, what he has done, what he has presented with his own hands. His own deeds are forgotten. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us and make us conscious. Whenever we are reminded, we should really feel good. Do you know the excitement that a person feels when, for example, something that he likes is about to happen? Give you an example. Typical. Say a person is hooked onto football and there is a match, say for example in Europe. You know what I'm talking about. And you see how excited the people are. They're supporting a team. They might fly out to Europe or they'll make sure they get to where they can watch it live and so on. The excitement. Okay, how excited they are. And when their team wins and to see a few people who they really think are in tip-top shape in terms of ability to kick a ball, they get excited. Subhanallah. That excitement is such that such people sometimes do not have similar excitement when they come to Salah to put their head down on the ground for the one who made them. The day we are more excited to meet with Allah, to come to the masjid, to obey Allah's instructions, and we are so happy, so excited, we talk to people, we want to know about it, we are so happy, we want to take more time there. That is the day, inshallah, we will be heading in the right direction. May Allah grant us strength. This is a powerful example because it's the reality. You know, if you watch a ball, even if your team won 100 times and they broke world records, it does not make you within greater ability to kick a ball. The people who support football are hopeless footballers. Do you know that? They don't even know what the weight of a normal ball should look like. I don't want to say put up your hand if you know, but I know very few hands, if any, would go up. But yet, without knowing the weight of an international ball, we are the biggest footballers and we want to know everybody's name and details and so on. Yet we do not know something that will take us to eternal paradise. Subhanallah. We don't even know the names and details of the family members of the messengers and the ones who gave their lives in order to protect the deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with them and may He unite us with them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, قُلْ هَلْ نُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ أَعْمَالًا, towards the end of Surah Al-Kahf, verse number 103-104. الَّذِينَ ضَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ صُنْعًا. Should I inform you, tell them, should I inform you of those who have lost their deeds? Those who wasted their ability, they've wasted their deeds, their energies, wasted everything. They are the ones whose effort on this earth or whilst they were alive in the world was fruitless, aimless. It was actually astray, it was futile. And they thought they were doing something good. When they died, they realized what we did was actually a waste of time. This has two meanings. A few meanings, we will mention two of them. One is a person who is the greatest loser is he who works for his worldly life and forgets that he is going to a hereafter. Loss. Because today, if I were to offer you a job, let's make it more interesting. If you were to offer me a job, for example, and say you are, for example, going to have such a salary and you are going to be having such perks and such this and such that, I'm sure people would consider, subhanallah, because they want it to be a means of their comfort and that of their families in this world. But if we are from amongst those who are quick to respond to this type of work, which is going to earn a salary for this world, and we don't read our salah and we don't prepare for that of the akhirah, then we are losers. If you take a look for a moment, and I want to draw this parallel because it affects all of us. We all earn a livelihood, some more and some less. What is the effort that you put every day so that at the end of the month you get a salary? Ask yourself, how many hours do you put? Wallahi, I think on average 8 hours. Am I right? On average, approximately 8 hours. And what do you get in return? Let's say the best salary from amongst us, 150,000 rands. The best. Don't look at me and tell me where's the job. May Allah grant us goodness. My brothers and sisters, we are being paid 150,000 rands in order to work for 8 hours a day, like slaves, 5 days a week, and five and a half. The other two, you have a break. And do you know what? We are only going to get 150,000. We will spend a little bit of it it might result in us doing wrong things because we've got excess wealth. A lot of people, when you have excess wealth, you need to control your expenditure. So make sure you don't spend it on the wrong path, because it's very easy to do that when you've got a lot. And thereafter, if you've kept so much, you better make sure you disciplined your children and taught them what Islam and Allah is all about, because when you die, they will kill each other over the few millions you've left. But that's what you get. And we are not prepared to give Allah 24 minutes a day. And He gave us the life we have, the eyes we have. There is no knob that you need to press in order to get focus with your eyes. They automatically focus. Imagine there is no tuning on our earlobe where we need to now fine tune it so we can hear someone. It's there. And subhanAllah, ask those who cannot hear, cannot see, and have health problems, how much they are ready to spend if that health of theirs can be restored. May Allah restore our health for free. We are ready to spend hundreds of thousands. You know, we can actually take money from people borrowing, and we want to restore our health, but we don't realize the giver of the health of those who do not need any form of medical attention. Still, they cannot afford 24 minutes for Allah. When we get up for Salatul Fajr, do not get up just to get it done with. Get up because you love Allah. Think of the football. Wallahi, if it was UEFA Cup, we would get up at 3 in the morning and watch. Fact or not? Let's be honest. It's time we thought. So, Allah tells you, subhanAllah, I don't want so much time from you. Get up, it's better for you. 24 minutes in the day, we are spacing it out perfectly for your benefit and for your, really, for your goodness in terms of your health, your wealth and everything else. And still we say, no, I'd snore. And if we do get up, a lot of us, may Allah protect myself as well, sometimes we are only getting up because we need to get done with it. That's why. So there is one higher level than that. And that is to get up because you love Allah. So now you get up early. When you are in sujood, it's beautiful. Imagine when your team goes into penalty shootout, you're so excited because now you know, hey, 10 minutes more. Hey, don't disturb me. Leave the popcorn. Why? Because we want the ball to pop. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness. My brothers and sisters, look at where we are. Look at insan. These are real life examples. We can relate to them. And this is why we don't have peace, because we are confused with our priorities in life. We are not saying don't enjoy what is permissible on the globe, but not at the expense of that which is necessary to build your hereafter. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الذين ضل سعيهم في الحياة الدنيا وهم يحسبون أنهم يحسنون صنعا. Those who have lost their deeds, they are the ones who have done deeds that are really futile. Those whose deeds are astray in this world, wasted their energies, and they think they are doing good. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they lose a lot. The second meaning of it is people who engage in actions and deeds that were not taught to us by the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, people who engage in that which is against what Allah and His Rasul have taught. In that particular case, we will be doing deeds, but they will be futile. Let me give you an example. We get up for salah, for example, al-dhuhr. How many units or raka'ah is salat al-dhuhr? 4. The farad is 4. So if a man says, no, today I'm going to make 5, he's doing so much and he thinks, I love Allah, I'm adding an extra raka'ah, and you know what, I'm going to make 5, or maybe if I'm very tired, maybe 5.5, I'll end after Sami Allahu liman hamida, I'll make salam and I'll carry on. Because I just want to offer Allah a little bit more. So his idea to him sounds right. But in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is rejected. Why? He's doing something totally against what salah is all about. So this is why it's important for us to learn that sometimes we do deeds thinking we're doing a great deed, but wallahi, in reality, it's not a deed at all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness. So that is why the last verse of Surah Al-Kahf, Allah makes it extremely clear. Verse number 110. He says, فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. Whoever is looking forward to meeting with Allah. Aren't we looking forward to meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Whoever is looking forward to meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they need to do two things. They should do good deeds and they should protect themselves from all forms of shirk. Two things. Direct and clear cut verse. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do good deeds. So good deeds, you know the meaning of the term good deeds. all good deeds, goodness to fellow human beings and so on, and the acts of worship that are taught by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, make sure that you engage in them properly and okay. Make sure you do them in a way that you understand I'm going to meet Allah one day, and never associate any form of partnership with Allah. If these two conditions are met, Allah says, those who are looking forward to our meeting, if they do these, we then look forward to meeting them. This is in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whoever loves to meet Allah, Allah loves to meet them. Subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us and open our doors. Let's move on to Surah Maryam. To pause for a moment with the name of the surah. Mary, the Virgin Mary, may peace be upon her. The mother of Jesus, may peace be upon him. This surah is named after her. And in it, there is an explanation of the birth of Jesus Christ. May peace be upon him. So I invite you to open the Quran and go to the chapter of Mary, may peace be upon her, and read what it says. And see how Jesus, may peace be upon him, was born. And what happened, and the miracles that occurred at the time. And how he spoke from the cradle. The fact that he spoke from the cradle, the other religions do not make mention of. This is a miracle that is mentioned in the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us. So inshallah, we hope to benefit from that. However, I want to draw an example from the surah. Mention is also made of the Prophet Abraham. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. One of the grandfathers of the Prophet Jesus, may peace be upon him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it very clear. And the reason why he makes it so clear is for us also to learn a lesson. Remember, it's not only for one reason or two. Sometimes there are thousands of reasons. We can only pick on a few, perhaps in order to remind one another. Here, something very great happened. There was a young boy. His name was Ibrahim. His father used to worship idols, and all forms of shirk used to happen. And he realized, you know, I should render acts of worship only to my maker, nobody else. How can I render acts of worship to anything besides the one who made me and the skies and the earth and all the moon and the stars and so on? So he questioned his father, and his father became angry with him. And he told his father something. Verse number 43 of Surah Maryam.
Ya abati inni qad ja'ani min al-ilmi ma lam ya'tik fattabi'ni ahdika siratan sawiyya.
Oh my father, knowledge has come to me that did not come to you. So follow me and I will guide you to the straight path. What do we learn from this? Sometimes our children will correct us. Sometimes those who are correcting us will be younger in age than us. Look, very respectfully, he is talking to his father. His father got angry and upset, but he maintained the tone. This is why when we are calling towards goodness, and the attitude of a Muslim, the behavior of a Muslim should be such, that when you are uttering something upright, and people get angry as a result, you don't need to get angry because of their anger. You don't. You maintain what you are saying, maintain the same level of calmness, and keep repeating the statement. And this is the benefit that we have from the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never ever told any of his messengers that scream back at them. Not once did he say yell back at them, not even once. But he always explained, go to them and speak beautifully. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us and grant us goodness. So the point we are learning from here, if we'd like peace in our lives and comfort, when we are corrected, we should take correction, even if it happens to be our own child correcting us. May Allah bless us and may He grant us ease and goodness. Then after making mention of many of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah says subhanahu wa ta'ala that a generation followed, or generations followed, who abandoned salah. And as a result of abandoning salah, they began to follow their desires. Listen to verse number 49 of the same surah.
فَخَلَفَ مِن بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ أَضَاعُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَاتَّبَعُوا الشَّهَوَاتِ فَسَوْفَ يَلْقَوْنَ غَيَّا.
After these messengers, they were followed by a generation who abandoned their salah and began to follow their desires. So Allah says, they will definitely meet something evil, something harmful, something painful, meaning they will see their punishment. Now, the reason I am mentioning this today is to connect salah with the protection from immorality, and the lack of salah with the diving straight into immorality. A person who is worried about their prayer will be protected from immoral behavior. by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine you make wudu and you've read your fajr, and when you complete your fajr, you are now worried about the next salah, which is dhuhr. And then you fulfill your dhuhr and you're worried about asr. You read your asr and you're worried about maghrib. Do you think that you will start engaging in immoral behavior in the middle? No. This is the protection of Allah. So in one verse Allah says, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. Salah will protect from immorality and evil. And in this verse, Allah says, because they abandoned their salah, they engaged in immorality. So they abandoned their salah, and as a result, they became careless about their link with Allah. Once a person is not bothered about his link with his maker, what does he care if he commits immorality or if he does anything else that is bad? This is why, brothers and sisters, you want to start earning the love of Allah, start off by repentance and establishing your salah. Do not miss your prayer, come what may. A few months down the line, you start seeing miracles. Wallahi, you start seeing miracles in your life. When you read your salah and you have not missed your salah and you've stayed away from sin, you will automatically find barakah in your sustenance. Your wealth will have so much blessings in it. This is almost a guarantee. Time to come, sometimes not immediately, but it will happen. It will come a month or two. Sometimes Allah is just testing you to see how long you're going to endure. It will come. You will be a calm person. You will have so much love in your home. You will have so many problems and matters resolved. And even if there are issues outstanding, you will be a person who's calm. Why? Because the calmness that you have is derived from the prayer that you engage in so many times a day, connecting with your own maker. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us and grant us ease. And this is why, right at the end of this particular surah, Surah Maryam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of love. You know, wuddun in the Arabic language is love. It's a very high level of love. And Allah says, verse number 96, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ سَيَجْعَلُ لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَنُ وُدَّا. Indeed, those who believe and do good deeds, the Most Merciful shall create for them love. What does this mean? That means Allah loves them. He will ask the angels to love them, and the angels will descend with the love of that person through those or in the hearts of those who are similar. Subhanallah. So which means when you see a person trying to earn the pleasure of Allah, and you love them as a result, it's because you too have something in common. And this is why, and the point I want to raise here, when you become upset by looking at someone who's trying to adopt the commands of Allah, it is because your link with Allah is weak. That's the reason. Are we following the point raised here? Some people get angry. You see a man with a beard, you say, you get angry, look at the Taliban there, man. Wallahi, these are the statements that people utter. Nowadays, mashallah, at least they'll say, look at the Amla there. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect him and grant him goodness as well, mashallah. Good ambassador of the deen. So, it's amazing, but when you get happy, even if you are not that strong, even if you are a bit weak, but you get happy when you see a sister trying to dress appropriately, you make dua for her, Ya Allah, I'm not that strong, but Ya Allah, help her, Ya Allah, look, guide her, protect her, subhanallah. I know of someone who created or who thought of an idea of having a World Hijab Day. World Hijab Day. And what the idea was, that let everyone, whether they're Muslim or not, supporting the hijab and the protection from the ban of that hijab across the globe, let them don the piece of cloth for the day in support of it. So you find Muslims and non-Muslims across the globe wear the hijab one day. We're talking of the non-Muslims. Muslims should be wearing it every day anyway. But even those who are weak, they don it one day. Subhanallah, there are non-Muslims who felt the comfort and coolness and serenity of that particular hijab, that they accepted Islam and reverted to the beautiful religion. Just because of one day of a beautiful cloth that they had on their heads. Amazing. And our own sisters sometimes find it tough to put that piece of cloth on their head. My sister, I call upon you. Try it for the sake of Allah. Wallahi, if you do not achieve coolness and comfort, you can complain to Allah. You will achieve it. It will come. Maybe not immediately. It is a step. People will definitely laugh at you. We read verses tonight which explain to us that the people who are sinners and criminals will always laugh at those who are good and pious. They will always do that. They will call you names. They will scoff at you. They will make your life a little bit difficult. That's your test. You will have to have tests from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's important for us. Let's try it. Let's do this. Allah will love us. He will instruct the angels to love us, and the angels will descend with our love amongst the fellow believers, and the love will inshallah increase as an ummah when all of us are heading in the right direction. This is why I repeat my point again. Brothers and sisters, whenever you see anyone trying to earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you do not feel love for them in your heart, there is something wrong with your link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We would need to rectify it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open our doors and grant us goodness inshallah. Tomorrow we will mention a few points from Surah Taha. Until we meet again inshallah, we say wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.